Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hey, everybody. I hope you had an awesome Christmas, and I'm super excited to bring you this bonus episode before New Year's 2015, because in episode 103, I interviewed Liz Carlisle, who wrote one of the best books by far that I have read this year called The Lentil Underground, which is the story of some renegade farmers here in Montana who chose to grow organically, not just because it was better for their land, but because it was better for their livelihoods. And so when I was at the Aero Conference, I met this guy, David Oyen. We went on a tour of his factory in Conrad, Montana, which is a little ways outside of Great Falls, Montana. His business is called Timeless Natural Foods. And he's been leading a movement for like 40 years now to grow lentils, which are a cheap, healthy source of protein. They're rich in fiber, they're rich in folate, they're rich in vitamin B1 and amino acids. But best of all, they are drought tolerant and they don't require irrigation. And they make their own fertilizer. So this is like a total option for farmers. Farmers who are in the conventional system are stuck more likely growing monocrops or like a single crop like wheat or corn or soy. And that's not very good for our environment because, well, one, they're not rotating their crops if they keep growing wheat in the same field over and over. It's not only going to use up all the nutrients in the soil, but it's going to attract pests, and that's going to require pesticides besides the fertilizer. So as entire farming systems are affected by climate change, especially here in Montana, you never know what it's going to be like. You might be getting drought or you might get downpours that are going to lead to erosion. To say nothing of the east side is very windy, which also builds, you know, gives you some erosion problems. So these farmers figured out how to farm productively, even though they were uncertain about what the weather was going to be like. And they found their solution in lentils and some other pulse crops like chickpeas. And they're growing this amazing, it's kind of like a rice called farro, which we're excited to try growing here in Montana. And so I want to encourage you, one, to buy Liz's book or get it out of the library or just read it. It's coming out in paperback in February. And you can order, she recommended you order it from Powell's or Amazon, but wherever you get her book from, I think you're going to love it because she's a great storyteller. She's a natural, she started out as a cow country singer, and so she's really good at, you know, telling a story. So it's written really well. So even if you care less about farming, it's just a really good story about some amazing people. And so I've been eating lentils, and so I had to ask Marissa from the kitchen in Missoula, my dear friend, to come back on while we're both on vacation from school and tell us some great ways to cook lentils. Because one thing I've noticed about these organic lentils from the Timeless Foods is they're just fresh. They're super fresh. They have so much more taste to them. They have texture to them. That's just fun and delicious and yummy, and you can put them like in anything. I don't know. I just like to scoop a spoonful on top of like a salad, or I throw them with pasta, or I've been using them in all sorts of dishes. So, but I thought people might be interested in some more formal recipes. And I know Marissa, I remember she talked about both lentils and farro this summer. So that's why we're here today. All right, Marissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me again. Sorry about my hiatus.
Oh, well, you've been busy teaching. We totally understand. We're super excited to have you here today to tell us about things that you do with lentils.
The humble lentil. There's so much you can do with it. How much do people already know about lentils is my question.
Well, I gave a little brief introduction about the lentil farmers and the book that I just read and why they should be eating lentils. Other than that, I did interview that woman a few episodes ago, but Liz Carlisle, who wrote The Lentil Underground. Mm-hmm. But as far as cooking, and when like I first got back from the Aero Conference, I had a woman named Claudia from Claudia's Mesa down in Bozeman talked a little bit about eating lentils. So they might have heard that episode. Okay. But I think I would start with like the basics, like how easy they are to cook.
True.
How you can put them in anything pretty much.
So yeah. So here's the deal with lentils. I like to just have them hanging around the house. That's one of the things that's always in my pantry because they can go in just about anything. And they're super easy to cook. And so what I tend to do is make a big batch of it on Sundays and just keep it around the house during the week. We put them in tacos, you reheat them and then put an egg on it for breakfast. They can go in just about anything. So the first step in cooking lentils is to, let's just for math ease, because I know a lot of people are not as nerdy as I am when it comes to math. So let's just stick to a cup of lentils. We'll make it easy.
All right. Now, so, are we talking about dry lentils or cooked lentils?
Yes, we're talking about dried lentils.
Okay, so a cup of dry lentils.
So measure out a cup of dried lentils. And then what you want to do, if you have a strainer, like a meshy type colander, that's the best thing to use for it. If you just have a regular colander, that'll work too, but you might lose some lentils. Because what you want to do is rinse them out before you use them. Because sometimes, because of how they're harvested, you can find a pebble in there or just something that's not a lentil can be in there. And in honestly, in as many years as I've been cooking lentils, I've never found anything. But it's still something I do because the one time I don't do it is the time I'm going to like chomp down on a pebble and have to go to the dentist. So just be safe. Friends, safety first when it comes to lentils. So rinse out your lentils, you know, kind of dig through them with your hands because they're a sturdy little legume. They're not going to break if you, you know, go through them with your hands. And then put them in a saucepan. You know, a couple of quarts. You're going to add a couple cups of liquid to it. So if you have 1 cup of lentils, you're going to start with 2 cups of liquid. Now that liquid can be just about anything. It can be water. It can be chicken stock. It can be veggie stock. It can be beef stock. Really, whatever you want to do. I tend to use chicken stock because it's what I have on hand. But if I'm cooking for vegetarians, I'll always use veggie stock because they get a little tricky about that. But water works too. You know, if you don't have any stock, water works just fine. So what you're going to do is bring them to a boil. So turn the heat up all the way up and bring it to a boil. And then you're going to turn it down and simmer it with a lid off for about 25 minutes.
Oh, with the lid off. All right.
I do it with the lid off. That way, because the thing about lentils is that they'll suck up all that liquid and you need to keep adding liquid if necessary just to keep the lentils covered.
Oh.
So it's not like rice or quinoa to where it sucks up the liquid and it kind of steam cooks because you have that lid on. The lentils are so dense, I think, for lack of a better word, that they need that constant addition of liquid. And so the other, so 1 cup of lentils, 2 cups of liquid. And I usually end up using in total probably 2.5 cups of liquid. But again, I'm a wild card. I don't measure. I just pour right in. So these are measurements based, like this is what I would do if I actually measured things. Put some seasoning in them. Do not salt them till the end. I cannot emphasize that enough. If you've ever made lentils and you do them, you know, you follow the directions and it's 25 minutes and you're like, oh, they're done. And then you take them and they're still rock hard. It's because you salted. It is because you salted. Do not salt. So
what kind of spices then?
Well, you can salt, but wait till the very end.
Okay.
Wait until they're cooked. And then right before you take them off the heat, put salt in. So what I do, I'll dump a little garlic in. And then I'll put a bunch of crushed black pepper over them. And a lot of times, one of the most consistent ways I make lentils here is with taco seasoning. Mm. So we take a lot of overnight river trips in the summer. Mm-hmm. And we happen to have a vegetarian that we go with all the time. And so lentil tacos is like one of our go-to on the river meals because it's really easy to make in a Dutch oven over a fire. So you do the whole lentil thing and then you add a couple tablespoons of taco seasoning. And it's awesome. So
now,
that's
one taco seasoning. Is that something you buy at the store that's already mixed?
Yes, I get mine from the Good Food Store. And so it's got cumin in it and peppers, and I think it does have a little salt in it. So I usually put it on the lentils about halfway through, just that way so the lentils have some time to get tender. Mm-hmm. But it's awesome. It's one thing we will always eat.
The thing I really love about them is you don't have to soak them overnight like pinto beans or kidney beans or something like that.
No, and it's also like, you know, for the most part, I buy canned beans. I don't buy dried beans, even though I know it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. Me too. Just because I'm so impatient. And I very much cook on the fly. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to make white bean and ham soup. I say that an hour before I start making it, not the night before. You know, so mm-hmm. I don't exactly have the time to soak beans overnight. And you can get around not soaking beans overnight. But, you know, I stock up on canned beans when they are on sale. And it makes my life a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. And we use a lot of beans at my house.
Yeah.
So we can do both. We have cans around and then we have ones that you cook on the stove.
Exactly.
And in the winter, I'm more likely to cook them on the wood stove.
Yeah, lentils don't come in cans. I don't think I've ever seen a canned version of lentils.
No, and I was like, I looked for, because this guy, Tim Ferriss, who wrote the 4-Hour Work Week and the 4-Hour Body, mm-hmm. he talks about lentils, that he always has lentils. And I was like, where is he getting these canned lentils? But yeah, I had a hard time finding them. I do think I did see them at the good food store.
Maybe Whole Foods. So lentils. So one of the staples in our house is lentil tacos.
Okay.
So we get corn tortillas. Heat those up in the oven. Mm-hmm. I just put the oven on like 300 degrees. I spray some foil with like canola oil spray or whatever the big cans are from Costco that you get. Mm-hmm. And then I stack all the tortillas in there, cover them up, and just warm them up in the oven.
Oh.
Yeah, it's my favorite way to do it. Because I feel like you can reheat them in a microwave if you have one, but sometimes they get soggy. And who likes soggy tortillas? I mean, come on. Nope. So then lentils go in the taco, you know, cheese, lettuce, salsa, really whatever you have on hand. That's another great thing about tacos is that you can pretty much put anything on them. So it's a great way to help clean out the produce in your fridge.
Absolutely.
The taco season lentils, that's something I'll make and keep. And that way, you know, if John has to get up and go to work at 3 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. he can cook himself an egg and reheat some lentils. And that's a really hearty meal that's going to keep him going for his 12-hour day, you know. And it's easy and quick and delicious, and they reheat really well. And another thing I like to do, it's on the same line as tacos, but I make something called sweet potato and black bean enchiladas. And I'm not sure if I've ever talked about those here before, but so it's another way to basically use up everything in your produce bins. You take some cooked sweet potato, mash it up with some cream cheese, and I've made them with vegan cream cheese too. They don't taste as good to me, but if vegan cream cheese is something you're used to eating, it'll be delicious. And then you take a can of drained black beans or lentils, if that's what you have. I've done it with both. And then you basically add onions, peppers. I've put squash in. I've put everything but mushrooms in, really, because everybody I cook for hates mushrooms. So I've just basically stopped eating them myself because it's just easier. But I'll cut up kale and put it in, or spinach, zucchini, tomatoes. You know, and so then you have this enchilada filling and more taco seasoning and some, so you put that in the tortillas, you know, put enchilada sauce over it and you bake it for 45 minutes.
Oh.
It is awesome, but it's, you know, sweet potato and lentils, sweet potato and black beans. And it's also something really hearty. And, you know, I cooked, you know, there's only two of us in the house and I cooked a tray the other night of these. And I think I want to say it made 8, and I used one sweet potato and one can of black beans and 1 8-ounce thing of cream cheese. And that's enough to make 8 to 10 enchiladas. And then what I'll do is if I have any filling left over, I'll either reheat that and put an egg on it for breakfast or freeze it and just use that to make enchiladas down the road.
Now, you just mix the sweet, like you bake the sweet potato? How do you cook the sweet potato? You cook the sweet potato and then do you boil it? You microwave them.
You can bake it for an hour. And if I'm making sweet potato and black bean enchiladas for a crowd, I will usually just put the sweet potatoes in the oven at the beginning of the day. Yeah, or beginning of whenever I'm starting to make it. If I'm just doing a small pan, if I'm only using one sweet potato, I'll just do it in the microwave. You know, you punch a bunch of holes in it with a fork, you wrap it in a wet paper towel, set it on 5 minutes, you know, check for tenderness.
Ooh, I didn't know about the wrap it in a wet paper towel.
Yeah, that's, I don't know why I do that. I think my dad taught me to do that.
Nice. It's
bizarre, but yeah, it keeps it a little more moist. And then, you know, once it's tender and done, you cut it in half. And I like to let it cool for a little bit because it, I mean, I've definitely burned my hands with these things. And then you scoop out the flesh and I pour the flesh of the sweet potato right on the cream cheese because it helps melt the cream cheese and then it's easy to mash. And yeah, so I mean, those are two very easy ways to use lentils up into hearty ways.
And those are perfect for this conversation because I've been thinking about people. I guess I was thinking for entertaining people who are either having people come to their house or if you're going to a potluck because that's a big thing to do at New Year's, right?
Absolutely. And with lentil tacos, like what a great way to do a potluck. Like I'll make a big pot of lentil tacos and tell everybody to bring a topping for the tacos. Mm. It is best though, if you're going to do something like that, to assign toppings to people so you don't end up with just, you know, jalapenos and tomatoes.
What other toppings would people bring?
Oh gosh, you could do cabbage, you could do any kind of cheese, blue cheese, manchego, cheddar, jalapenos. You could do like a cilantro lime sauce that you could make with cilantro lime juice and sour cream.
I was wondering if you ever use sour cream instead of cream cheese.
Not in the mix. I'll put sour cream on top, but I also use Greek yogurt instead of sour cream pretty much all the time. So, but yeah, chopped up tomatoes. You can pretty much go anywhere with tacos.
Okay, cool.
So many things. And then, you know, as a side, you could just do a really nice big salad or something like that.
That's something I put my lentils on a lot. Like I'll take them to school and take a salad and just throw a spoonful of lentils because they're good with the salad dressing, I think. I'm a salad dressing fanatic. Exactly. There's this
other thing I make, and it's from a vegan and gluten-free website. It's called like a goddess bowl. And it's lentils and some peppers and kale with this like tahini dressing. It's from oshiglows.com and you can look it up. I don't have the recipe off the top of my head, but it's another really great utilization of lentils. And it's vegan and gluten-free. It's lentils are delicious. And, you know, there's always lentil soup. That's an easy go-to, you know, lentils, again, wait to salt till the end, but lentils, whatever veggies you have and veggie stock and let it simmer for a couple of hours. And if you want a little extra flavor, so I buy the big wedges of Parmesan from Costco and it really like one wedge, it takes me a year to go through it, but I have these super awesome cheese bags. They're from France. And they make cheese last so long. So they're wax on the inside and paper on the outside. And you just fold them over and it helps, you know, the longevity of your cheese. And I usually only use them for Parmesan because, one, they're pretty expensive to buy. So I don't use them just on any cheese. But Parmesan is something you need a little of it and it can go a long way. But what I do is save the rinds. And so you can pop a Parmesan cheese rind into your lentil soup or, you know, whatever kind of soup you're making if you want a little of that nutty, cheesy flavor. And it can be, you know, it kind of does the same thing as a bay leaf. You're not going to eat that part, but it adds so much flavor.
Oh, yeah. That's what I always put a bay leaf in my, like, lentils or definitely I've always done it more in my, like pinto beans or kidney beans, because doesn't that help cut the gas too? You get from
I think so. Like yeah, that? I don't know if that's just an old wives' tale or if that actually works, but I have heard that.
Me too. I know, but I love the flavor that it gives them.
Exactly, having and a bay leaf in there. You don't think that something that small can, you're like, oh, it's a stinking bay leaf. It's 2 inches long. How can it add that much flavor? But it really makes a difference.
My mom has a bay leaf tree or a plant or something in her house. So she gets fresh bay leaves all the time. It's so nice.
That's awesome. I have some fresh ones down in the kitchen right now just because I used some fresh bay leaf and eucalyptus to garnish a cake last week.
Ooh.
Yeah. Very pretty.
One of my guests was just talking about growing eucalyptus recently. I don't even think our episode's aired yet. So I was excited to hear about that. I think we might try to grow some eucalyptus. Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing with us today, Marissa.
You bet.
Have a wonderful new year.
I will. You as well. And something else before we go, something else that a lot of people cook, and it's a southern thing, black-eyed peas are something that are meant to bring prosperity. So a lot of people in the South cook them on New Year's Day.
Oh.
I have no idea how to cook them. I imagine very much in the same manner as lentils and or beans or other legumes. But that's something to look into if anyone's looking for a different little something different to do.
Okay. Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Do you want to tell listeners how to find your Facebook page? Because I was looking, you got some nice photos up there.
Oh, I do. I do, don't I? I have the photos.
You should label them because some of the things I was like, what's that?
I've been super busy with some holiday parties up here. The Facebook page, you can find it at The Kitchen in Missoula. And I also have a website. It's just not up and running yet, but that's also The Kitchen in Missoula. And you can follow me on Instagram at The Kitchen in Missoula. All those things. If you like food porn, that's where it's at.
Okay. I know my brother is a foodie for sure. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Marissa. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you in 2016.
Thanks, you as well.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to check out our website, organicgardenerpodcast.com. That's just organicgardenerpodcast.com. And you'll see the links to everything that we've talked about today in the show notes page and all the other episodes there. You can easily search for people by name. You can download our ebook on organic gardening basics and subscribe to our newsletter for updates and just different things that are going on. Thanks for listening, and remember to grow.